call.
Voter Registration.
Voter Registration.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And he loves you.
The perfect.
Tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In the studio today with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
I know that's right. My good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, sir?
We're blessed.
Amen. We are glad to be in the house one more time.
One more.
Where we can continue to lift up the name of Jesus. And it is he who declared, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, that he would draw all men unto himself. So we thank God that we have another opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus through studying his word. So we're going to get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives. Share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
When we were talking on last week in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, we were talking about how bold John the Baptist was and how he was willing to stand up to what was right in the sight of God, and he had this conviction that if Herod was going to do something wrong, he was going to tell him he was going to do something wrong.
Amen.
And how the church should really be in the mode of just telling the truth, telling it as it is. And, you know, sometimes we want to sugarcoat stuff and try to prevent people's feelings from getting hurt, and we want to be people pleasers. But if you're going to die, you should die for the truth.
Amen. That's true.
You know, you're not, don't die for the fake me out. Die for the truth. And you know, you have to stand up and you have to speak the truth. Speak the truth in love, but you got to speak it. And so that was what we were talking about last Sunday, and what happened. I'm sorry, last Thursday. And what happened was because of that, John was beheaded.
Yeah.
And you know, when you think of it, all of us going to die of something.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the funeral business has not gone out of business.
Got that right.
Obituaries page is still full this morning, and you know the cemetery's graves will be opened up.
Yeah.
But we have to stand, and we have to stand for and tell the truth. And so it cost him his life. So let's see where he got killed over some crazy stuff. In verse 6, Matthew 14, verse 6, it says, "But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod." And Herodias was setting up John the Baptist because basically he was calling her out for incest. And so we know that a lot of times when you tell the truth, people are not going to like you.
They're not.
And you know, we were talking a little bit about the political environment before the show started. And there's always been people that will politicize anything.
That's right.
And then you have people that will stand up and tell the truth. And those are the folks that you hate.
Amen.
Often think about how President Kennedy was assassinated in that same period. Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were speaking truth to injustice.
Right.
And when people speak truth to injustice, a lot of times people will take drastic measures to kill them.
Shut them up.
You can even go back to President Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's speaking truth to injustice, and they want to take him down.
That's right.
And you know, a lot of times in political climates, people will try to say and do things to hoodwink and bamboozle people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stand up for the truth, they're not going to like it.
No.
But the truth is the truth.
Yeah.
It ain't going nowhere.
No.
It is the truth. And so here, she's trying to manipulate him. In verse 7, it says, "Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask." See how she's scheming on Harry. So she knows him. She's scheming. And she, being before instructed of her mother,
mm-hmm.
said, "Give me here John the Baptist head in a charger." And she must have been doing one of them booty dances. It blew his mind. Oh my God. Oh,
gave
my
a little
God.
Something to drink.
Oh my God. Whatever you want, you can have. Amen.
Amen.
Back in the day, guys losing their mind over the booty. Amen.
Nothing new
under the sun.
Still today.
Uh huh. She danced. Oh my gosh, messed him up.
Mm.
And so in verse 9 it says, "And the king was sorry nevertheless for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him meat, he commanded it be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison." In other words, the king gave an oath, and you know, he didn't want to seem like he was
looked
bad. So he killed John the Baptist.
Amen.
And that just lets you know the Sheila G. That lets you know how corrupt man can be.
Well,
that you know, he'd rather save his face.
That's right.
And save his face will kill somebody.
It's
man needs God in a bad way.
It's a very bad way.
Because he doesn't care too much about anybody but himself. Sheila G.
That is human nature. That me first and everything else later. But to kill another person to impress another person, and that's no regard, that's no moral value, that's no character, no integrity whatsoever for the moment. And how often do we as human beings do the wrong thing for the pleasure of the moment?
That's right. And you know, it's a thing of political correctness. That's the thing, what's going to be right in front of the mask.
Right.
And Dr. G, I'm sure you've been pastoring for a while, ministering for a while. You see pastors succumb to the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's no joke. As you said, you know, political correctness, you know, you do and say what's proper at the time, whether it's right or wrong. And that's the bad part about it.
Yeah, you gotta not be in a position where I'm just doing this to remain popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's not popular. And, mm-hmm. And one of the things as a parent we were sharing with some of the kids this week
mm-hmm.
is it's not popular to be a parent.
No, but not to be a good parent.
Yeah, and I can't be your friend and
no.
be your dad
that's
at the same
right.
time.
That's
Amen.
Right. It's not popular.
But that's not the world say. You know, no. you're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be able to call you
by your first name.
By your first name.
I wish.
No.
And be able to be on the same level as you.
No, and you can't do that because as a parent, you're supposed to train that child into adulthood to be able to go beyond these walls and stand up and be respectful. And people outside of your house are not going to treat your child the same way. They're not going to love you the same way. In other words, you can get on my nerves, but I'm still going to love you.
Right.
So you need to learn how to, you have to train your child how to handle adverse situations. And if we just coddle them all the time and spoil them all the time, we make them weak.
You're not preparing
them. No, we're not preparing them. So when they get out into the world, they want to hide, want to run back home, be up under you. But then what happens when you're dead and gone?
In trouble.
The last thing you want is a 50-year-old man living in your house, capable of working and doing everything. They're not that they're sick or disabled or anything
mm-hmm.
like that, simply because they can't handle the world because you didn't teach them how to handle the world.
Right. And that's the thing about making the right decision, even though it's not a popular decision.
Right.
And you know, you'll appreciate it later on, but if you succumb to, you know, I want to be popular, and you know, Harry was like, well, if I do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, this is going to happen. Just trying to find out what to say in front of whatever group I think what I should say. And, you know, we were talking about the political environment again, and it's like, you know, a lot of times politicians, whatever crowd they're in front of, that's what they're going to say.
Right.
So if you're on A Street, I'm going to speak A Street language.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then when I go to Z Street, I'm going to speak to Z Street language.
Right.
And you know, you really have to get in into the person that's in front of you and say, what are they going to stand for? Even with your pastor or even with your friends, you have to get to know those people and know are they going to stand for what's right?
Amen.
Because when push comes to shove, what are they going to do? Are they going to roll on you and say cut his head off?
Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Or are they going to say I'm with you? I'm with you.
Well, that's where you.
And I'm going to look out for you.
That's when you find out. That's how you find out who's for the truth and who isn't. That's how you find out who truly trusts in the Lord or trusts more in their emotions. And that's when you find out when those that were just stabbing your back, or, oh, you were just friends with me because you needed something.
Right.
Not for the sake of it. Because I always said a very, very good friend is one that will tell you the truth even when
mm-hmm.
it hurts.
Exactly.
You know, and if somebody can tell you, and you can take it when
yeah.
they tell you even when it hurts, and that's how you know that's a friend. And that relationship continues on versus I'm telling you the truth. Oh, you told me what I didn't want to hear, so now I don't want anything to do with you.
Right, right. And Dr. G, that John the Baptist was telling Herod the truth.
Oh, yeah.
You messing up.
Amen. You know, with that, because my mind was going back, and we were talking about kids and raising our children. You know, back in the day coming up, not only did you learn respect for your parents, but for all adults. Because
yeah, right.
if you got in trouble at school, you had to run the neighborhood
yep.
just to get home. And by the time you
everybody got
a piece of it. But in this day and time now, you know, like you said, you know, we want to be popular. You know, later for the popularity, I'll be your dad
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to be your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say things just to make it seem good to you or to please you.
Right.
I got to go with the words.
Right.
But you know, it's almost like that is just like, it is just like what was going on back then.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist, he just told them the truth.
That's the truth.
That's wrong. And you know, you tell people stuff is wrong, and they can get wind in their jaw, and get their butt on their behind.
Hello.
They don't want to hear you no more, don't want to talk to you no more.
They
fall out with you and fall out with this one, fall out on the job, fall out at the church, and go and do the same old, you know, unwise stuff again. But you have to understand it's not being a follower of God is not a popularity God.
Right.
You're going to run up in some tough stuff, and you have to rely on your trust and your faith in God to be able to get through it. And you know, that this was the example of John the Baptist. He stuck to telling the truth, and his ultimate demise was that he became a martyr. He died for telling the truth. And you know, too many people are selling out.
Right.
Selling out for the truth. So we're going to wrap up. We're going to change gears, and we're going to go to what happened after this. Let's continue down in verse 12. And it says, "And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." And here Jesus understood that John the Baptist was a forerunner of him to help prepare the way. And, you know, John was a servant. He was. He said, I didn't come to, you know, I must decrease while Christ increases. And so he's getting out of the way. And so now he's got out of the way, and the word got to Jesus, and now Jesus is coming on the scene. We pick up in verse 12 where his disciples buried the body and told Jesus. And then in verse 13 it says, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities." And so now here is John decreasing, and Jesus is coming on the scene. And he is getting ready to go about his final earthly ministry, ministering to those that were sick, those that were diseased, those that needed compassion. And here we begin to see how he begins to demonstrate to his disciples how if they follow his command, how multitudes can be blessed. And that is today, is that if you follow Jesus' command, multitudes can be blessed. And also, Sheila G and Dr. G, Jesus is showing that whoever we are, with our little bit, as small as we might think we are, our little bit with Christ is more than enough.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Our little bit with Christ is more than enough. And that's the mindset is he's preparing, because he's going to leave off the scene here shortly, but he's preparing those disciples that remained, is that our little bit with Christ is more than enough. In other words, what we have, as long as we couple it or hook it up to Jesus, it's more than enough. It's more than enough to take care of whatever the task is. And
right.
So we're going to see Jesus demonstrate that in these next few verses. And so he in verse 14, he says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." So here he is in this movement of God's prophetic ministry of he would come and that he would be the savior of many. He would have the ability to heal and to provide for those that were in need. And so John the Baptist came, and when Jesus asked him to baptize him, he said, "No, I don't want to baptize you, because I'm not worthy." And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so now, because it so that all prophecy can be fulfilled." And so what Jesus is doing here is John the Baptist has passed off the scene, and so now the prophecy is continuing to go forth. And that's what we have to understand as Christians, is God has a plan, and all of us play a role in his prophetic plan. And so we can't get caught up on and shut down if challenges happen in our lives. And that's what's so critical about Jesus showing this is he's saying, okay, John the Baptist died, he was buried, we understand that, But the work of God has to continue on.
That's right.
In other words, situation and circumstance shouldn't shut down the work of God.
That's right.
And Christians have to get to maturity level to say, okay, this happened. He was buried. He did what Christ wanted him to do, and he carried it out well. But here there's still much work to be done. And I think a lot of times in the church, as we get bogged down over simple stuff,
amen,
that prevents the work of God from
going forward.
Amen.
I mean, we get bogged down. People will. I mean, okay, I broke my toe. And you don't see me for 6 months.
Mm.
Okay.
Come on.
I'm tired, and you don't see me for forever. But life happens, but the work of God has to continue on.
That's right.
And in fact, if you focus on that, because what our challenges are, what the devil uses to distract us from God's work, and what we should learn to do is recognize them. And trust me, I know this from how the things
mm-hmm.
that I've had to face with.
Yeah.
So I'm not just talking to be talking. I'm talking from experience. You recognize that sometimes the worst of the worst of the worst can happen. But you can either focus on that, which will just make you feel worse,
mm-hmm.
or you can say, oh, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do. Okay, Lord, I believe in you,
mm-hmm.
and I trust you. That doesn't mean I just believe in you in the good times, but I believe that somehow, some way, I'm going to get through this. But I even more believe even more that you're going to give me the peace to know that I can get through this. So, yes, weeping may endure for a night, but I know I'm going to have joy. But I have to act like I have that joy in the midst of my tears. And I have to draw closer to him and not further away. And what tends to happen is when we get disappointed or when things, we feel like we're doing the best we can, and then things just start happening to us one thing after another, we in our flesh want to give it up. Where I learned, that's when I'm going to turn it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I turn it up, that's when the devil has to get back because he realizes he can't bring me down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll do that with man, but we need to do that with God.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times we'll be in a situation on our jobs and everything. I'm in a male-dominated profession, and they always tell you as a woman, don't let them see you sweat. So we'll do that in front of man and to peep man that, yes, I'm feeling the pain right now, but you'll never know how much I hurt.
Right.
But in our spiritual life, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
In our spiritual life, we do not. We can do that to a human being, but we can't do it to the devil to say, you know what, come hit me with your best shot.
Mm-hmm.
I may wobble a little bit, but I'm getting right back up.
There you go.
Because I got someone bigger and better than you.
Amen. Go ahead, preacher. Tell them.
But, you know, with that, with all that you said, part of that is that they don't really believe in God or his power of what he can do. Because, you know, we say all the time, talk is cheap. And, yeah, you're going to have your share of troubles. You're going to have your share of situations. But you have to, that's when we have to lean and trust on that faith. Mm-hmm. Where we're going to go to the Lord during bad times as well as good times.
That's right.
And, you know, one thing that really bugs me is, you know, folk will come to church on Sundays sometimes,
mm-hmm.
depending on how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear it so often, I hear this, you know, I'm just so busy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it take when we get sick or a tragedy to happen, then all of a sudden all that little busyness doesn't seem to be too important.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to run to the Lord. And as you know, we've said, you know, that's not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn how to be that, you got to let that faith work and be faithful during the bad times and the good times.
Right.
Because someone said, I think it was Sunday, you know, there are times, either Wednesday night, we got to get to the point sometimes when we just say, thank you, Lord, for the good and the bad.
Right. And you hit on it so well. It's a thing of faith, and you have to grow in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are growing in your faith, what happens is you understand that this is the will of God carrying out.
Right.
And when you understand that this is the will of God carrying out, nobody wanted to see John the Baptist die.
Mm-mm.
Nobody wanted to see him in prison. And he is definitely getting to a point where he's saying, okay, these things are unfolding. Let me show you how to continue to walk in God. Let me show you how to continue to carry out things of God. Jesus came not to do the will his will, but he came to do the will of his Father that sent him.
Yeah.
And so death comes, sickness comes, issues comes, problems come, but our focus and our faith should still be, let me carry out the will of my Father.
Amen.
And so in the midst of this great tragic, this death, Christ still focused on what was at hand. And I think a lot of times the enemy, like you were saying, Sheila G., will try to distract us
mm-hmm.
so that we don't focus on what
right.
Christ wants us to do. And, mm-hmm. and there's so many times where we get caught up, we're doing this, and we're going here, and we're doing this, and we're saying this. But are we focusing in on what the will of God is?
Amen.
And that was so strong in Jesus, is that no matter what went on, he still said, I'm going to do the will of my Father.
Mm-hmm.
His focus was, okay, all of this stuff can happen around me, but I'm going to do the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
He died, but there's multitudes that still need to know about God.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And if we as a body of Christ can understand that the head is telling us we have to carry out his will now.
Right.
To understand that life is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows life happens.
Yes,
look
does.
Back over your life just the last yep. 6 months. What has happened in your life?
Amen.
Wow.
But you just can't shut down.
No.
You know, the enemy would say, yeah, you tired. You just need to take the rest of the year off.
Come on.
There's one more thing.
and you know, and who wouldn't like to take the rest of the year off?
Right. Put the covers over your head.
You know, well, John died, so you ain't going to see me for a while because John died.
Come on.
I had a pastor. He cracked me up. Dr. G, he said that the family called him, and he was, I forget where he was, but he wasn't nowhere close. And they wanted him to get up and get on a plane and come because somebody died. And he said, well, let's hold on a second. He said he's dead, right?
Come on, man. Come on.
You sure he's dead?
Amen.
He's not going anywhere.
Hey.
I can't get there just like that.
Right.
Amen. But what I do is as soon as I can, I'm going to get up, I'm going to come. He's still dead, right?
That's right.
He's not going anywhere.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to see you when I get there.
Amen. Amen.
So calm down,
mm-hmm.
because he's dead.
Amen.
Death is a part of life. A part of life.
Right. That's right.
Right. Right.
And so it people mourn, and not to say take
right.
the, you know, but you still have to, you
put
still
it
have
perspective.
To put it in perspective. You have
mm-hmm.
to move on. And so here Jesus moved on because there are multitudes depending on the work or the will of God to continue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm making myself clear. Is
mm-hmm.
that there's a multitude that's depending. That they said, let the dead bury the dead.
That's right.
There's a multitude of alive folk that are getting ready to die spiritually or
mm-hmm.
already dead spiritually.
Amen.
That need to be reached.
Right.
Amen.
And so even in our earthly existence, there's still spiritual ministry that needs to go forward. And Jesus demonstrated this, and it just said, okay, he died, they got his body, they buried him, and then Jesus picked back up.
Went on going.
Let's go back to the word. And in verse 14 it says, and Jesus went what? Went forth,
mm-hmm.
what? And saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now suppose Jesus could have got beat down. Lord, they done killed him.
Come on.
Oh!
Come on.
He kept on going, doing the work of his Father.
Oh, Lord, it killed you.
And that's, again, Jesus showing example of how we should be. That even when adversity comes, even when we're disappointed, even when we're let down, because remember, yes, he was spiritual, but he was still human. But he still had that same feeling
yeah.
for John the Baptist.
Yeah.
They like jump in each other's belly when they were
right.
before
and
even into the world.
Even Lazarus when
mm-hmm.
he wept, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And right. So he was still human, but he's showing that ultimate example of what we're supposed to do.
Right.
That yes, we're gonna have yes, things are gonna happen. Yes, there's gonna have adversity, but we still have to continue to do the work of the Lord.
And okay. So that's the challenge. The challenge is in with all the adversity that goes on. Do we still have the faith to be able to continue to do the will of God in spite of the adversity? I think that's the question for all of us tonight is
in spite of how you
in
feel.
Spite of the adversity mm-hmm. and the challenges in our lives, do we still have the faith to trust God to continue to do His will? Or are we going to break down and get off track? That's the challenge. And a lot of times people say that's cold or that's you know, not being considerate, or that's not having compassion. But we have to understand the compassion that He had for those who didn't know Christ.
Right.
We know Christ. We know the power of His resurrection. We know the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, we are in the flesh. Yes, we mourn. Yes, we have trials and tribulations. But don't lose focus that God still wants to use the body of Christ to reach those that don't know this.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says that we don't mourn like those who have no hope.
Right.
And so in other words, we mourn, but we mourn with we know that there's a resurrection. We know that there is life. If a man dies, he'll live again.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some folk that mourn and don't know that. So in other
right.
words, we shouldn't mourn like those who don't have hope. We should
right.
mourn like those who have hope, and still be able to stay focused and on track in ministry, and still be able to minister to those who don't know God like that.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
But the enemy wants us to get sidetracked.
Right. That's why we're supposed to trust the Lord with all our in all our ways, acknowledge Him, and lean not to our own understanding. And that's how you'll get your peace.
Right.
When we try to make logical, and we try to understand it, and try to put it in, quote unquote, our perspective,
right.
and it doesn't make sense. But if you look at that adversity and you can say, okay, I'm going through this, maybe God is allowing me to go through this so I can use it to help somebody
testimony.
Else.
Exactly.
That's what a testimony is.
Yeah.
And you can't have a testimony if you don't have
a test. Right.
And all tests are difficult. And in order to pass a test, you got to study.
Yeah.
And that means prayer. But that, those are the things. But too often we want to fall and react based off how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
In our humanness versus mm-hmm. what we should be doing in the spirit.
And I mentioned Lazarus and you know, the two sisters, they wanted Jesus to come before He died.
Right.
And Jesus knew in the will of God and God's plan was that God was going to get more glory.
Right.
Or get the glory from Lazarus dying and being raised
right.
from the dead.
Right.
But He couldn't fall apart. It hurt Jesus that Lazarus died, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
You're right. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking, and we can take it a step further. Even when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane,
mm-hmm.
and his thoughts, the human side of him, came on,
yeah.
and he thought about what he was getting ready to say.
Yeah.
And he went before his Father, Lord, is there any way that this cup can pass?
Let's keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
But then he came back to himself, but nevertheless,
mm-hmm.
not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to finish doing the will of his Father, which was to go to the cross, suffer, bleed, and die for mankind,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then get up on the third day and
there
then finish his earthly ministry before going home.
That's it.
And that in itself is so powerful because a lot of things that adversity that we go through, we don't know in advance
what's
going to happen.
No.
So at least we get the surprise part of it and have to deal with it. But he knew.
He knew.
Yeah.
And he had a choice. Now, you know, if somebody told us we're going to be in an accident tomorrow
mm-hmm.
and this is going to happen, you're going to be up in the hospital, we would not get in our car the next day.
We would try to postpone it,
not drive or anything. But
right.
that's just how much he loves us. He knew. And the humanist is like, I don't want to do this.
The multitude needed his
mm-hmm. But he's like, but not my will, Lord. Your will, you're the one that's in charge of this. But and that's just how much he loved us.
Mm.
A lot of things that happened to us, we don't know what's gonna happen.
Right. And this is the sweat segue. And just in that from that verse 13 to verse 14, just in there, it's you know, when you read the Bible, you study the Bible, and you could just kind of skip and go from that transition to this transition, but there was a lot going on in there. They were mourning and they were troubled. But even with the mourning and the trouble and the situation and circumstance, they still kept doing because they knew the will of God needed to be done. And I think we gotta really focus in on that to understand the circumstances shouldn't dictate how we follow God.
Right.
And carry out his plan.
Right.
Not to say again that we're not human, but that's going to be the question tonight. Is during testing, during trials, during tribulation, how do we still focus on carrying out the will of God? It's a tough question. And yeah, how do you focus? I know Jesus prayed. He got away and prayed. We're a little further into this passage. He got away and prayed by himself, and he was able to continue to go on. Go to the studio audience.
Yeah, man, you're asking some tough questions. You think a little bit.
It during the trials and the tribulations, how do we mourn like those who have hope and continue to focus on those who don't have hope? In other words, how do you deal with your stuff and still see the compassion to deal with somebody else's stuff? If I can switch it around like that.
All right, well, let me answer it like this. I think it first depends on where you are in your Christian journey. And I use myself, for example, because I can't speak for anybody else. I can speak for Brandon. Mm-hmm. When I first became a Christian and I started going through things at that phase, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to handle anything. I resorted back to, I'll just figure it out myself. I wouldn't look to God, turn to God, anything. I would just say, all right, I'm going through something. I'm not focused on anything else in life, God, family, anything except being in that moment, living with whatever was bothering me at that point in my life. As I got a little closer mm-hmm. to God, mm-hmm. I started getting better because things that I had gone through before and knew God had pulled me out of, I said, okay, I've been through this before. I know how to handle it. But also in that phase, if something new came along, I resorted back to the beginning.
Gotcha.
I've never been here before. This is something serious. God's going to have to kind of go in the back burner right now because I'm trying to feel my way through it. So I think as Christians, it's when it's something familiar, you're not as worried about it because you know, okay, I've been here before. God has brought me through. But I think the dilemma is that when you start experiencing things that put you in an unfamiliar mind frame, situation, category as far as what you're actually going through, I think that's when people tend to stray away from God when they feel it's something serious enough, but they still feel that they need to be able to handle it or have to handle it, and thus they lose focus. So for me, it's always trying to gradually get better, but I think the dilemma and the struggle is that we're going through something extreme, whatever extreme for you, for me, whatever. I think that's where people have the problem of being able to focus and say, you know what, in spite of what I'm going through, I'm still going to do God's will, still worship God, still go through, whether that be losing a job, whether that be death, whether it may be something where, you know, you might, you know, have an illness or a sickness or something like that. Yeah. That can easily deter somebody, but you have to still remember that in spite of all of that, what the higher picture is. But I think as humans, it's really coming on one, where you are mentally when that issue occurs. Like if you've had a bad week and then all of a sudden at the end of the week you find out you've lost a best friend or something, that's when people tend to stray away. So I think it's when it happens, how weak are you emotionally or mentally when it happens where you still have to try to keep some sanity and remember that it's still about mm-hmm. praising God in spite of what you're going through. So, I mean, there are a lot of different variables in it, but I would just say for me, the human element has always been if you're going through something unfamiliar mm-hmm. and you feel that it's very extreme, the human tendency is to stray away from God because you don't want to focus on that. You want to focus on, you know, what you're going through instead of saying, you know what, because I'm going through this, I need to focus more on Christ and God. So I think that's the human nature, but I really truly believe that it depends on what we're going through. But, you know, God teaches us no matter what we're going through, good or bad, he's still worthy to be praised. He still needs to be praised. He still needs to be given, you know, the glory and the honor. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the best way I can try to answer that question.
All right.
Amen.
Good deal. The question is, while you're going through your trials and your tribulation, how do we continue to want to continue to do God's will? How do we still continue to do God's will while we're going through our trials and tribulations? How do we continue to do God's will and not get sidetracked?
Sure, Bertie.
I think, well, for me, it's more like just prayer. We try to stay in prayer a lot. Mm-hmm. Every morning, we always pray before we go anywhere.
That's awesome.
And in the prayer, we always say, you know, I pray that we get through our trials and tribulations, and I pray for seven mercies to and from our destinations and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it's more prayer.
Preparation.
Prayer and preparation, because it's kind of like, you know, you go through a lot of stuff, but as soon as something happens, how do you handle it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you put your mindset in a way where it's like, okay, I'm in a situation now, but what am I going to do? How am I going to get through it?
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're a babe in Christ, you don't really know about God.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to be like, well, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do this on my own. But I think it's the foundation,
mm-hmm.
that it all starts with the foundation, okay? How do you, you know, building yourself up as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
the more you build yourself up as a Christian, the more you're able to get through a lot of things easier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going through, like Brandon said, when you go through a new situation, it's like, okay, I'm going to just continue to do me.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's something that you've gone through already,
mm-hmm.
you're like, all right, Lord, I got through this once. I'm going to get through it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's foundation, prayer, and preparation.
All right. Thank you for your comment tonight. Some good stuff. We're going to go to our callers. I'm going to go to the last four digits of your phone number. We're going to call on your last four digits. 3658. 3658, you are on the air.
Hello, how are you? God is good. And have pastor, have first lady. God
Hello.
Is good.
Hi, Rose.
Yeah, how I get through it is, first of all, I know who God is. I'm old school, you know. He's the Alpha and Omega, the Lily of the Valley. He's everything. And when we set our mind on God, then as you were saying, you can't have any other distractions, because when life
mm-hmm.
comes in, life will come and life will set you up and life will let
mm-hmm.
you think that this is the problem. But the only problem
mm-hmm.
is that your faith is getting a little weak here. So I know
mm-hmm.
I've been through some storms and I've been through some things, but I know that the same God that brought me through 10 years ago, 20
yep.
years ago, go 30 years ago, he's going to bring me through again. I can make a lot of excuses and exceptions and go, well, this or that, like when you were talking about John. I'm quite sure Jesus could have brought him back to life, but God had
mm-hmm.
a higher purpose. So once you know your
right.
purpose, and your purpose is to serve God, your purpose is to be a living example for somebody. If I'm a Christian and I'm always complaining and I'm always going through trouble, how can I convince you, an unbeliever, to serve the God that I'm serving?
Amen.
So whatever my
Amen.
Situation is, whatever my trial and tribulation, I give it to God, and it took me many
yeah.
years to learn how to leave it there. But that's how I go
Amen.
Through. Thank you.
Amen.
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 Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to the last four digits, 672667. 6726, you're on air.
Yes, sir. How are you all doing? Good evening. Good evening and good evening to everyone. This is how I deal with situations now as opposed to years ago, even last year, something came up that I never expected. It happened before, but it will never happen in that way. And I didn't handle it well. See, it comes
mm-hmm.
all, it's based on faith. How much faith in
yeah.
God do you have? It's based on, you know, as a Christian, God is not going to put no more on you than you can bear,
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
And when you complain about things, you make it worse. I mean, and like Rose mm-hmm. said, how can you help somebody when you're complaining and walking around moping? Let go
mm-hmm.
and give it to God. So,
Amen.
And so in other words, don't let it stress you out, because that's what Satan wants. He wants you to look at the focus on the problem, to focus on the situation, focus on the problem solver. Remain
Amen.
Positive, stay positive. And that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I pray a lot, and I ask God to lead me and guide me. Before I got to where I am now, I handled
mm-hmm.
things a whole lot differently. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
I might would even complain and talk about it with other people or trust other people's
mm-hmm.
opinions instead of seeking God. But
mm-hmm.
as I grew spiritually, the word that God had given me and I had studied, he allowed that word to come alive inside of me. And I began to
Amen.
Trust the Holy Spirit and trust the word more now. And so God, he has begun to deal with me that some things that happen in life is for,
mm-hmm.
it's so that I can help somebody else. The experience
yeah.
that I go through, don't be so focused on yourself, but
Amen.
Think about somebody else needs you more right now at this particular time. And I think even though we know that people are going to die and we have gone through that with loved ones, we know that
mm-hmm.
they're sick and they're going to die, but death, knowing it and actually happening is two different things.
Right.
But
Amen.
We have to always try to keep reminding ourselves and telling ourselves when we're going to have those weak moments, it's going to be times
yeah.
that we're going to cry. But we have to tell ourselves
mm-hmm.
that we know that that person is better off. And that person
Amen.
Does not
Amen.
Want to come back here. They would not want to exchange places
oh.
with us. And people that are truly in Christ, they don't want
mm-hmm.
you moaning and carrying on like you have no
Amen.
Life. A lot of them will tell you, do the will of God.
No,
because we're going to meet. You know, there is a future. We're going to meet. So,
yeah.
But we have to get to that point. It's not something that comes overnight. We grow as babies.
That's right.
We grow in faith. And it only comes through prayer. It comes through studying
mm-hmm.
of the word. It comes from believing
right.
in God's word and
mm-hmm.
having that unity. We have to have one another to support us.
Amen.
That's why we need to go to church and fellowship with one another
mm-hmm.
so that when we become
Amen.
Weak, we can pull on
mm-hmm.
one another's strength. We can
there you go.
We can exhort one another. We can build one another up through prayer
mm-hmm.
and through the word and through unity, through fellowship. So
Amen.
It's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Next caller, the last four digits is 9772. 9772, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I would say that I grew up as a small kid, as a child. My mother and I grew up together. We were like friends. We was
mm-hmm.
much best friends to each other. But my mother was my mother, and still I grew up as a
mm-hmm.
friend to her. When I lost her and had a good foundation from her, I thought I could never live out to something else because I would live and go with her. But she left a foundation
mm-hmm.
on me to start and study the book that she had left with me to make sure that I would keep on the right track and keep on going. And I had the same thing with my grandmother. She taught her and
mm-hmm.
me, and we stay on together, and we cannot lose it. I cannot lose it. So I done did all the bad things I could have done, and it put me back on the same
uh-huh.
track again. I do not seem to be getting off a track no kind of way. It's
Amen.
The foundation
God
that
bless.
We've been put up with. That's all I can
Amen.
Say.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7348. You on
the air. Good evening. For me, personally, I just hold fast to Romans 8:28 that says all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so even when I don't understand, even when I can't wrap my mind around it, I just hold fast to the fact that all things not just the good things. Sometimes it'll be bad things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'll be things that are painful. But all things eventually are going to work for my good. And so I just have to trust him, his process, and his plan.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. This is a process in your spiritual walk that it can be difficult because we do have trials and tribulations in our lives, and it can you can get kind of selfish. I got to get through this thing for myself, but then that could be somebody else over there that's suffering worse than you are. So you have to have that foundation of the Holy Spirit in you that tells you to keep on keeping on with the Lord. And the only way you can do that is have the Holy Spirit take over everything in your life to give you that strength that you didn't even know you had. Because my sisters and I went through something last week. A dear friend of ours, his daughter, came down with cancer in the brain. She lost her right eye. And these people are like sister and brother. And I was going through a little thing of mine. And I said to my sister, I said, you know what? They went all the way to Las Vegas to some praying people that you got to pay money to for them to heal you. And we said, this is so sad. These are Christians that are letting people take advantage of them. This is a scheme. And we couldn't get to them. They are so into this thing. And they're on this dumb Facebook. Everybody's not on that Facebook and mess. And it hurt us because we had our problems. We had other friends. Just the day we found out two dear friends of ours gone to glory. But you have to rely on God, your faith, and say, God, give me the strength to do that will. I know you got my back, but there's somebody else over there that's suffering. And I know they don't know. They haven't been through this before. And they need a strong spirit to get to them. And we'll learn right now, how can we help or get to these people to let them know that God is right there with them. His spirit is in them. Yeah. And the same thing these crazy people you're over here praying for, you already have it.
You already have it.
And if it's in his will, then she will live. When my husband died, my pastor was right by my side, giving me that strength. He had a church to do and all of that, but he never left my side. My church tuned into my house to let him hear God's word. And that's what I'm talking about. Being able to go through your thing and reach out to somebody else's. And that's only through God. It's only through the Holy Spirit that He will give you everything that you need and that over portion, that other portion, extra portion, to help somebody else. And right now, I'm not worried, but I know intercessory prayer is just as good as anything. God gave that to us as a gift. But I know we have to pray for our friends that are going through something that they really shouldn't be going through, because we know as Christians, when that time comes for us to leave this earth, it varies the things that you experience as a Christian. But that's just one example in my life right now that I know that they are in the hands of the wrong people.
Yeah,
leading them astray And that is so sad. You can't find God. You can, yes. Don't
and
let anybody
God.
Tell you that. Nobody. Yeah. And the child is, the inevitable is going to happen if it's in his will. If
that's
it's
right.
In his will. We have to always be strong. We always have to be lifted up in his
mm-hmm.
word. And if we can't, if we don't know it, we need to go to his word.
That's right.
And to him.
That's it.
And that's the answer. That is the answer.
Yeah, that is the answer.
I am a living, living testimony.
Testimony.
Amen.
And do for others. You know
right.
you can do it. Nobody has to tell
that's
you
right.
that. You know it. You know mm-hmm. that you know that you know. And he's
that's right.
always with us. Always.
And he's always
oh,
with us. That's
yes,
right.
Always.
Yeah, you know,
with us. Yes, Lord Jesus. That is my testimony, and it's a good one because God has been so good to me.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comments tonight. All right, Sheila G., good question. But, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of times we read and we skip to the next verse, skip to the line. Sometimes you got to look what's going on in between that
mm-hmm.
what's
the
going on.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. what's going on.
You know, the final thing that I have to say about this, because like I said, I've been through a lot, is that it's a whole thing of renewing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because things will happen to you. And like, you know, like we were just saying, how Jesus knew what he was about to go through. A lot of times the element of surprise what really throws us off is because we can't prepare for it. But we can prepare for it by our relationship with him, because if we have that relationship with him, when you're going through, renew that mind. We have to renew our mind. It's like, yeah, I see that situation. Yeah, I think it's impossible. Lord, I'm hurting. I'm breaking. I'm crying. But I trust you. I believe you. I'm focused on you. I know that you'll get me through. If I have to go by myself,
mm-hmm.
I can go by myself because I'm not by myself.
There you go.
Because you are with me. And by speaking that to yourself, that's how you renew your mind.
That's when the word becomes alive.
It becomes
mm-hmm.
alive. And you're doing just like Jesus did in the wilderness. You're speaking to the devil to
yeah.
say, yeah, you're exactly right. I do feel this way.
Yeah.
But I know it's not about how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
The word said, it is written.
Amen.
It is written.
Amen.
It is written. It
Amen.
Is written. And by saying that, then you believe it, and that builds your strength, and that's how you get stronger, even though in your flesh, you're weak.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you begin to say, greater is he
yeah,
who is in me
that's right.
than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And you say that you're more than a conqueror.
That's right.
You say that no weapon
formed
against me
shall prosper. It will make your enemies your footstool.
That's
it.
Yeah.
It will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I just want peace. Because
yeah.
I know things are messy. Just calm my spirit down, calm my mind. I know one day is coming. It's coming. Tomorrow's coming. If it's not promised, but if I'm going to be here,
mm-hmm.
it's coming. And I can't stop it.
Right.
Only God can stop it.
And we all go through all kind of crazy
right.
stuff
yeah.
every day in life. And when you understand whose you are and whose you are,
mm-hmm.
then you can settle down and you can say, let
right.
your will be done.
Right.
And, you know,
you
well, we had one caller said that all things work together
yep.
mm-hmm. for the good.
Can't worry about it.
And you know, you have to grow into that, though. You have
yeah.
to grow into
that's
it.
Yeah.
And when you grow into it, then you can begin to start ministering to others.
Right.
Bobby
right.
G.?
Well, I think, you know, I think everyone has said it, but I would jump on with Brandon and said, it depends on where you are in your spiritual journey. And sad to say, a lot of Christians who start out, they start off as babes, but they never grow. So that all of the other things that we talked about, renewing our minds, you know, they're still focused on themselves. But it depends on where you are in the body of Christ, where
mm-hmm.
you are in your spiritual journey. And a lot of folks just don't seem to want to get off of, you know, step A to go to step B. And they're enjoying that milk so much that they need to graduate. But it depends on where you are in your spiritual journey. And I'm going to share this, and then we can go ahead. I remember when I was I was a young preacher, and I was still at First Rock, and or was I? I think I'd left First Rock, but my mom passed, and they had the funeral at First Rock because she was still a member. And at that point, I was asked, I had already been scheduled to preach that following Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor King came to me and said, well, look, if you can't preach, don't feel up to it. I understand. And something within me said, no, I will be here Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and I will preach.
Yeah.
And the Lord blessed that Sunday.
Yeah.
And again, that shows where your faith is, where you are in the body of Christ. And so this is, as you said, it's a gradual thing, but you got to grow. It's time
mm-hmm.
for us to grow up.
Amen.
Amen.
Close us out, please, sir.
Amen. Can we bow our heads? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for another evening with your word. Father, we thank you for what you've revealed to us this evening.
Yes.
We pray now, Lord, that we will all continue to understand that we're going to go through things in this life. But, Lord, it's not about what we feel or what we think about. It's all about you. Lord, it's about your will being
yeah.
done. And, Father, if we could ever get that point in our minds and our hearts, we would be so much better as Christians. Help us, oh Lord,
help
to
us, Lord.
Stand strong and to do the things that we should do and be what we ought to be for you. And, Father, I pray right now that you would bless this Bible
mm-hmm,
study,
mm-hmm.
bless those that have called in. And, Lord, I thank you for those that have come out.
Yeah.
And we pray now, Lord, that as we get ready to leave, that you would grant us traveling mercies
mm-hmm.
one more night. Father, we ask that if it's your will that
my
we
Lord.
Awaken on tomorrow, that we will go forward boldly and afraid. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Wish everyone a good night, and we'll see you next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.